Sometimes you want to hear directly from the people at the center of the story. On NPR's Newsmakers, they go face to face with the people shaping this moment. Hear NPR's biggest interviews featuring guests like Dave Chappelle, Jill Biden, and Zohran Mamdani, hopefully not at the same time. With questions that matter and a push for real answers, follow Newsmakers wherever you listen to podcasts or watch on YouTube.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
This podcast is sponsored by Made In Cookware. Made In partners with multi-generational artisans and some of the world's best chefs to create professional quality cookware, knives, and kitchen tools. Their products are trusted in Michelin-starred restaurants worldwide and designed to perform just as well in your kitchen. From 5-ply stainless clad to carbon steel, every piece is built to last and made to actually make you a better cook. Discover award-winning cookware at madeincookware.com.
Welcome to Love It or Leave It, live from Hollywood. I'm John Lovett, and in the spirit of socialism, thank you for waiting in line to hear these free jokes. We've got a great show for you tonight, but first, let's get into it. What a week. New York City voters went to the polls on Tuesday, and the three left-wing candidates endorsed by Mayor Zohran Mamdani swept their races with two toppling establishment-backed incumbents. Viva la revolución, shouted Senator Chuck Schumer in a keffiyeh trying to blend in. Former city controller and mayoral candidate Brad Lander beat incumbent Congressman Dan Goldman in the city's 10th district. The most hard-fought battle between two Jewish men in their 50s since every time the check comes. Lander described the war in Gaza as a genocide and called for banning military aid for Israel, while Goldman, who lost by more than 30 points, has been very critical of Netanyahu while opposing an outright ban and accepting support from AIPAC. Goldman attributed his loss to anti-Semitism, but Brad Lander is also Jewish, and New York's 10th district is one of the most Jewish in the country. That dog don't hunt. That gefilte, it don't fish. Here's Lander on Wednesday on where he thinks the Democratic establishment went wrong.
We can't be a party that compromises on some people's humanity. Democratic voters are saying loud and clear they don't want to pay for any more of Netanyahu's wars, and they need that change in the party.
So first of all, I don't think you can blame that guy winning on anti-Semitism. If he came across any more Jewish, I think bagels would be literally falling out of his mouth. I'm Jewish. Just if you're not that familiar with the show, there's the safety of me being Jewish to make these kinds of jokes. So you can feel comfortable laughing even if you're not Jewish and not familiar. I give you that permission, which I'm allowed to do according to the laws of Woke 2.0, which are actually different than the laws of Woke 0.0, in which I could not give you that permission, and me making these jokes would have been a trap. Conservatives immediately began an epic freakout. On Tuesday night, President Bush's former press secretary, Ari Fleischer, tweeted, "Free advice to New Yorkers, get out while you still can. The rise of socialism in NYC will threaten everyone. Mamdani's power will increase. Socialists will gain more seats, and they're coming next for you. Get out now." And to all the fleeing New Yorkers, we welcome you to Los Angeles. Less socialism, yeah. And as of this morning, we finally extinguished the massive warehouse fire that was blanketing the region in smoke. Great news, everybody. It has been one day since our city was on fire. That's what we're applauding now. God, we gotta get it together in LA. In the wee hours on Wednesday morning, Trump posted, "America the Beautiful will never be a communist country." Yeah, if America were communist, the next thing you know, the state would be blaming sabotage for its own incompetence and allowing corrupt insiders to buy contracts and pardons and using state-run media to smear their enemies and nationalizing important companies and censoring the free press and putting political hacks in charge of intelligence agencies and using the Justice Department to target political opponents and refusing to enforce the law against their friends. And we can't have that. That would be terrible. It is true that one of the winning Democratic socialists, Dara-Lisa Avila Chevalier, has said some really dumb stuff. So has Maine Senate nominee Graham Platner. In both cases, voters chose these candidates over long-serving, well-known political figures in their 70s. So if you're worried that voters chose candidates that you view as unacceptable, maybe it's worth asking why the establishment candidates are viewed as even less acceptable. Even Domino's owned up to the fact that their pizza needed work. Establishment Democrats should look inward and ask, are we arriving cold? Is our cheese congealed? And when you pull off a slice, the cheese from the neighboring slice comes with. So you have to kind of rip it apart with your fingers, which sucks. Are we even delivering at all? Former DNC chair Jamie Harrison posted, if you hate the Democratic Party, then don't run for our nomination. But isn't there a word for someone who hates the Democratic Party but runs as a Democrat anyway? I remember it now. The word is Democrat. Here's James Carville.
It's time for Democrats to talk the S word, schism. I really do. Everybody's always said, no, we're coalition, we're big tent. And there's just some shit that I can't be in the same tent with.
Okay, you can't say the S word, then say the S word is schism, and then say shit. So help him God, he will turn this Carville around. Ragin' Cajun, more like Agent Cajun. Look, is Zohra Mamdani not supposed to boost his allies and try to build power in order to enact his agenda? Isn't that the entire point of politics? Do you think he should just fuck off at 5 and veg out watching the hit procedural Elsbeth? Sure, I would prefer it if my Settlers of Catan opponents didn't build settlements in cities, but I would probably dislike them even more if they didn't try. At the same time, the more power the DSA gains, the more responsibility this movement has. Avila Chevalier took heat for old social media posts in which she called for abolishing police and prisons, called Joe Biden a rapist, said fuck Kamala Harris, and denied Israel's existence. She also once tweeted that white people should only marry other white people, so don't say she's not capable across the aisle. But Avila Chevalier deleted and disavowed some of her most incendiary posts, saying, I have grown considerably in the years since these tweets. And that post ended with, I, like Stalin, am just misunderstood. But she has since apologized and deleted that as well. I'm glad she's walked back her worst comments in the same way I'm glad Graham Platner has apologized for the mistakes he made. And as a token of my appreciation, I will walk back one of my own dumb comments. In hindsight, Trump is going to win in 2016. Does it mean you have to like these people? No. Does it mean you can't be critical when you disagree? Of course not. But this is a democracy, and nobody gets to take their ball and go home. It was wrong when a faction of the left refused to support Kamala Harris in 2024. Yes, the anger was rooted in moral outrage over the Biden administration's response to Gaza. But the anger being valid does not make ignoring the stakes of an election righteous. You can feel something and then choose how you respond to that feeling. That's something I learned in therapy back when I still needed that. There are some on the left who are more animated by attacking Democrats than working with them to defeat Republicans. And there are centrists, like James Carville and Jamie Harrison, who seem willing to help Republicans use three socialists in three of the most liberal districts in the country to suggest it represents the entire Democratic Party. And I say to all of them what I say to people who bring both small dogs and big dogs into the grocery store. Shame on all of you equally. But sometimes I do it, and when I do it, it's fine. This is a coalition that runs from anti-Trump former Republicans to Mamdani, from Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro to Vermont Independent Bernie Sanders. And that's what it will take. The answer to right-wing authoritarianism is a diverse Democratic movement big enough to stop it. And if holding that coalition together were easy, we'd all be home by now, watching Elsbeth Thursdays on CBS. Which is why I'm going to ask you all to immediately go to votesaveamerica.com and sign up to help win the midterms. Because look at what we've seen just this week in a 6-3 decision. The Supreme Court's conservative majority allowed Trump to end the temporary protected status program for Haitians and Syrians, which allowed people fleeing violence and natural disasters to live and work in the United States. See, I told you what we were doing was right, said an ICE officer to his ex-wife before her new husband walked him back to his car and reminded him kindly but firmly that he's only supposed to stop by the house on Fridays to pick up the kids. Justice Samuel Alito, writing for the majority, rejected claims that the administration's decision had anything to do with racism towards Haitians. We now go to Trump for a response.
They're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats.
Why do we want these people from, quote, all these shithole countries here?
It's a permanent pause on third world migration, including from hellholes like Afghanistan, Haiti. I didn't say shithole, you did.
I still don't hear it, said Samuel Alito, getting ready to unwind by watching the latest episode of Elsbeth. It's a show for everybody. In another decision, a 7-2 majority rejected the lawsuit of a Missouri man who claimed that the weed killer Roundup caused his cancer. The two justices who dissented, liberal Ketanji Brown Jackson and conservative Neil Gorsuch. Weird day on the bench. It's like when I got paired with that popular girl in science class, and you know what? We actually had like a fun time and laughed a lot, and then later I saw her in the lunchroom and I thought she was waving at me, but she was waving at somebody behind me. The jury awarded John Durnell, a gardener in St. Louis who developed non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, a $1.25 million award, which the Supreme Court has now overturned. Okay, but what if I already spent the money, said Durnell, trying to cover up a pile of lobster shells in the passenger footwell of his G-Wagon? Brett Kavanaugh, writing for the majority, said that the jury couldn't punish Monsanto for failing to warn consumers because a warning label would conflict with the Trump administration's finding that Roundup is safe. Studies have shown a link between Roundup's active ingredient, glyphosate, and cancer, and I will continue to trust our scientists until they tell me to stop drinking Diet Coke, at which point I'll completely break. Diet Coke in my left hand, ivermectin in my right hand, and Dr. Fauci in my fucking trunk. All right. And we have got a great show for you tonight. We'll be right back with John Stamos.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Bilt. Whether you're renting or paying a mortgage, one of your biggest monthly expenses should be working harder for you. That's where Bilt comes in. Bilt is the membership for where you live that rewards you with points on every housing payment wherever you live. Bilt started out rewarding members on their rent. As of 2026, Bilt members can also earn points on mortgage payments too. Every housing payment earns you points you can use with top travel partners like United and Hyatt, or use your points toward Lyft rides, Amazon.com purchases, and so much more. Personally, I'd redeem my points for fitness classes because I like to feel both financially savvy and ripped. But here's what I think is the most underrated part. Bilt members also get access to a neighborhood concierge. It can make restaurant reservations, book fitness classes, and find new local spots, all while being rewarded at more than 45,000 merchant partners. It's like having a personal assistant at no extra cost. It's simple. Being a renter and now owning a home is better with Bilt. Join the membership for where you live at joinbilt.com/loveit. That's joinbilt.com/loveit. Make sure to use our URL so they know we sent you. Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Helix. A good night's sleep is so important. Is what sets you up for a good day. You don't get a good night's sleep, the whole next day is pretty well you know? And sometimes, you know, I struggle sleeping sometimes because of my brain. But then, you know, then the next day is even worse. Then you have trouble sleeping the next night. It's a vicious circle. But with Helix, you know, you have a really comfortable mattress that you know will make it really nice to settle in at the end of a long day. Helix delivers your mattress right to your door with free shipping in the U.S. How do you know which mattress is right for you? Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and it'll match you with the perfect mattress based on your personal preferences and sleep needs. They have over 20 mattress models, so you can find the perfect model for you. The Happy with Helix Guarantee offers a risk-free customer-first experience designed to ensure you're completely satisfied with your new mattress so you can rest easy with seamless returns and exchanges. Plus, Helix offers a 120-night sleep trial and limited lifetime warranty. I have a Dawn Luxe. It's super comfortable. I really like it. It's great and it's better than my past mattress. So you should check it out. Go to helixsleep.com/loveit for 20% off site-wide. That's helixsleep.com/loveit for 20% off site-wide. helixsleep.com/loveit. And we're back! The one and only John Stamos will be out in just a moment, but first, a huge thank you to our friends of the pod. If you're not yet a subscriber, consider this your midterm reminder. As a subscriber, you get a discounted ticket to CrookedCon. You get ad-free episodes of all your favorite pods. You unlock more Pod Save America, including Pod Save America Only Friends, which is our subscription-only show where we really let loose. You get the Open Tabs newsletter. You get Dan Pfeiffer's show, Polar Coaster, where you get a deep dive into the latest polling. You get ad-free breaking news. Plus, your subscription helps support a growing pro-democracy media company working to challenge the right online and get good information to people. So please go to crooked.com/friends to learn more and sign up. Also, if you are in LA, you can still get tickets at crooked.com/events to check out our new space and upcoming guests, including comedians Margaret Cho, Langston Kerman, and Dana Gould. Plus, we have the first Gen Z member of Congress, Maxwell Frost, joining us. Go to crooked.com/events. All right. Please welcome to the stage, it's America's hot-ass uncle, it's John Stamos. Hi, thank you for being here. Come on in.
How does that make me feel, Doc?
You want to do some therapy?
Yeah, go ahead. I bet you're a good therapist.
So where did we leave off?
Well, I was going to...
So you didn't expect that. That's tough.
That's good. Yeah, good. Well, did they ask where we left off? You should know.
Sometimes, if they're bad.
Oh. Hi, John.
Hi. Hi.
Hey,
how you doing?
I'm so impressed with you. You are a young man who's accomplished so much, and you're extremely impressive, and I'm happy to meet you, and I'm happy to be on your show.
That's nice.
You can clap.
Wow. Do you know?
This is a good audience,
They're great.
Because you were laying out some sophisticated jokes, and they were laughing really hard.
It's a sophisticated crowd, I could tell.
They're good looking, too.
I could tell they can have handsome, nice looking. I felt they could handle it. So do you feel like you were... I think not many people get to have the experience of being a classic 80s, 90s heartthrob. That was a very special time. It was a special time in the culture. And I wonder if you've first of all, do you have any specific surprising experiences of being a heartthrob? And was it ever obviously, I think there's a lot of people that would, drive a car through their family's home to get to be a heartthrob. But... Were there did it make it hard at times? Saying you were tagged as no, he's too good looking to play that kind of lawyer.
Right. I always hate good looking people that say, I was too good looking to get work and stuff. I plowed through everything. And, Full House was, I'm just kind of coming around to really understanding why people love it. I have an 8-year-old son and he watches it. I think he watches it to mock me, basically, because he'll be like, Billy, put away your Legos. He's like, you got it, dude. He's giving me catchphrases already. But, there were no main character. The main character on the show was love, and it took me many, many, many years to accept it. And I've been able to do Broadway, and I was on ER for years, and I don't remember list my stuff. But I've got to do stuff that wasn't really based on looks or that kind of thing. Did I answer your question,
yeah,
Doc?
Yeah, but do you feel like Full House? You said it took a while to embrace it. Did you struggle with that? Did you feel like it wasn't what you wanted? What do you mean?
It wasn't what I wanted to per se when I was doing it, but then I came around to it after a year or two. I realized, this is a really beautiful show and it's good for families. But then it was tough. The guy from Full House, it was hard to get work that I wanted to do. So it took me a while, but I'm just grateful I got to do so many things since then. It was a blessing. My whole life has been a blessing. I'm leading with gratitude these days because I can't, in a blink of an eye, thank you. In a blink of an eye, you're old, you're not there yet, but you just go what happened? It just goes by so fast. So every moment you have to, I don't want to sound like Oprah or something, but you really have to enjoy every moment and be in the moment, be here with you right now. It's difficult, but it's worth it because at the end of the day, I can go, I was really there for the audience today. I was really connected to John and I had a good day,
It's so important to be present.
It's hard though. It takes energy, doesn't it?
Yes. I can be present here, but rarely in other places.
Right. Do you have ADD?
100%.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a terminal case.
You think?
They study me at night.
They do?
They watch
Who
my
does?
Brain.
Your husband?
The scientists. They study my brain. They're like, wow, this is an archetypal. We should cut this brain up when he's done with it.
But I think people with real good ADD are brilliant.
I think so.
I think it's an asset and not a... Because you're bouncing around and thinking of ideas. But it's good to focus, and you seem focused now.
But I'm also on Adderall. But the... oh, boy, the Adderall really makes a difference.
Does it calm you down?
That's the thing that's crazy.
Yeah.
I know I have it because it brings me down. I mean, obviously, I have an amped energy, but that's biological. I'm always like this.
Right.
But when I take it's a drug that's an upper.
Right.
When I take it, I kind of lock into the mechanism and calm down.
So you need it.
You're
a good candidate.
Well, because when I used to write speeches, I would wait until the last possible moment where if I don't start right now, I'm going to be in trouble. And this is for the president of the United States.
Yeah, I know.
I literally am procrastinating as to the last possible moment and right when I should be filled with an unadulterated level of panic. This is a speech about the economy during a financial crisis across the globe. I'll take a 10 to 15 minute nap. You got to conk out at the worst moment. Then you get up and boy, are you in trouble.
Yeah.
And then I would write through the night. Write through the night.
What was your favorite speech that you wrote?
Oh, well, you know,
and you're so young to be writing these speeches, these powerful people that are saying your words. What does that feel like?
So
I'll interview you for a while.
You can interview me, sure. I would say this. If we could see what I would look like without the hair transplants and the various
hair. Come on.
Three of them.
Do you really?
Three of them.
Did you go to Turkey?
No, I didn't go to Turkey. I won't go. I won't let someone cut me in a place I can't sue.
Okay, right. I've had four.
You've had four?
No.
This is the court. This is natural.
But you're
unbelievable.
Now, I would never guess that you had hair transplants.
I know. I went to a good guy.
Did it hurt?
Yeah.
Okay.
But
why did you have three? Did he mess it up the first two times?
No, because you keep losing. You know what I mean?
It's like, did they take it from your pubic hair? It's like, where's it?
Well, they're working their way.
I mean,
no. It's no. It, thank you for asking. No,
yeah.
They take it from the back of the head and the asshole.
Okay.
Just the back of that. This is just your hair.
Your hair does smell.
You just get to have this hair. Yeah, thanks a lot. This is just your hairline.
It goes
That's
back
insane.
To my gratitude. I'm so grateful.
Yeah, you should be grateful.
My spirit animal is Jamie Lee Curtis, and every morning we write what we're grateful for. What we're fearful of, and like an attribute or something, like a lover or a thing.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
I do think people, if a good-looking person is not grateful, it's really ugly. It's ugly.
Yeah,
you know what
it
I mean?
Could be shitty.
Because look at what you were given. That hairline is crazy.
I don't think about it.
You should.
Okay.
You should think about it.
I'm going to start thinking about
it
now.
Do you ever wake up and go, God, I'm handsome? Come on, you must. That's crazy.
No.
You're like, you'd never do.
Sometimes.
I think you should.
I love you. You're really great.
Thank
you. I mean, I was flattered that you asked me to be on here, and I've watched you, and I've listened to you on the other podcast, and you're just, and I just sort of did a deep dive on you. I'm just fascinated by you. What the heck?
What the heck is happening? Stop charming me, John Stamos. I'll run. This is my show. These are my microphones. That's something Reagan said in a debate once. Okay, so you're playing the July 4th fireworks spectacular with the Beach Boys.
That's right, yes.
And you're a drummer.
Yes, I am.
You know, that's so cool.
One of the greatest thrills of my life to play with. They were always my favorite. Who's your all-time favorite band?
The Beach Boys, probably.
Oh, come on.
My favorite band?
The Beatles, Stones.
The Beatles are great. Rolling Stones are great. I saw them in a concert once. Yeah, they're great. I'm really of a book guy.
Will you come to a concert sometime?
Would love to.
Okay.
Would love to. Paul McCartney said, God Only Knows from Pet Sounds is the greatest song ever written. Do you agree with me that it's Barbara Ann?
No, I think he was right. That's a perfect song.
A perfect song.
And, you know, I've been playing with the Beach Boys for 40 years now, since before, you know. What year were you born?
I was born in 1982.
Yeah, so about 3 years after you were born, I started.
That's crazy.
And, the world needs the music more than ever now. The optimism, the positivity. You know, in the 60s, they were writing songs that, you know, they were just painting this tableau of optimism and Camelot and wouldn't it be nice and fun. And the whole world, you remember, wanted to be us around that time because they, you know, they believed in this this thing that the Beach Boys were putting out. Not so much anymore, but still we're doing it and the crowds are great. And, you know, I always say discord is at an all-time high and decency at an all-time low. But when you have the Beach Boy music, you know, to bring people together, and it doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on, how old you are, whatever it is. I've seen it for so many years now. Just the crowd go crazy for the band.
I think like when I was a kid, I remember thinking, oh, like the Beatles are the serious band and the Beach Boys are like silly and light. And then at some point I learned like, no, what's happening in Pet Sounds is shockingly technical and actually was like an obsession in part because of the competition with the Beatles. Do you ever talk to the band about that?
Yeah, we talk about it sometimes. I know that you know, the Beatles heard Pet Sounds, and then they did Sgt. Pepper after that. But Brian Wilson was obsessed with the Beatles as well. The Beatles heard. I think Bruce Johnston of the band took an acetate of Pet Sounds over to their hotel and played it for them, and they flipped out. You know,
in the 80s.
Yeah.
Everyone prayed that they too could be raised by three hilarious, kind dads in a huge house in San Francisco instead of your dumb real house with your dumb actual family. But John Stamos. You've had an incredible career across so many different shows and films, which is why we're going to play a classic Love It or Leave It game, which is, was I in this?
Okay.
Oh. And here's how it works. We are going to ask trivia questions about your career. If you think you know the answer, you can raise your hand and we'll bring you the mic to reply. I don't remind you, this is an excuse to talk to John Stamos. All right, so here are the questions for you. This is your set of questions, and I'll read the ones that say love it, and you'll read the ones that say John.
Okay.
Does someone here want to face the gauntlet of a trivia question?
Oh, even before you hear it. Okay, come on. No,
Paloma's going to come to the... Paloma's going to bring the mic.
I'm running the show now.
Okay. John Stamos is entering.
Look at what... Stand up. Look at the shirt. Can you look at the shirt she's wearing?
Oh, look at that. Oh, we have a Uncle Jesse shirt. That's so cool. Look at that.
Go ahead.
What's your name?
Christine.
Christine? John Stamos's first role was Blackie Parrish on the legendary soap opera General Hospital in 1982. True or false?
True.
That's correct. Look at that. This is very sweet. This is very sweet.
She won't let go.
What'd you say?
She's not letting
go. She's not going to let go. And we'll get the security.
Can we go to commercial?
Shut it down. Shut it down.
Thank you.
Now, you were going to enter your first semester of college, but you said, fuck it, right? I'm talking to you now.
Oh, yeah.
Stamos.
Well, I tried. I went. I couldn't find that sign-up room for college. I know you smart guys can find that, but I didn't. And so my dad really wanted me to go to college and take over his hamburger business. I worked at his hamburger joint. In fact, I got on General Hospital, and he still made me work on Sundays. And so when I called home, I said, I got this role in General Hospital. And you could hear my dad in the background going, tell him you can't work on Sundays. You're my Sunday guy. And I still worked during the week, and the show started to air. And people would come in and say, hey, aren't you the... No, give me a cheeseburger or anything. So I didn't go to college, but I thought... I got to become famous, so I did.
Smart. You did it.
Yeah.
Was General Hospital good training? Like, it seems so intense that you don't get to go back, you don't get a lot of takes, you have to go and get, you're shooting so much.
Like this show?
This show is a lot like that.
Yeah. Like a soap opera.
Yeah, it's like a soap opera.
I think soap opera actors would think that it's insulting to say it was a training ground, but it was. There's some great actors. Well, I work with Tony Geary quite a bit, who played Luke, and I learned so much from him. And so there's these great actors on there. It was a lot. I had like 20, 30 pages a day, but I just loved it because it was my first job, and I just, it was
special. I don't mean it. No, I can see how that can be like kind of pejorative, but I mean like just as far as going on to other sets, like these are sets where you have to know your shit, you have to show up every day, you got to be ready. You don't get the luxury of getting to learn it as you're doing it. You have to be there and ready. Like,
exactly.
That seems like a cool thing about it.
I think I learned a lot of discipline from that show, showing up on time and being nice to people. My dad, kept me working there. And my dad was a guy who would treat the busboy the same way he would treat his best customer. And he really was that kind of man. And I loved him so much. He was my hero. He passed away. And when kids... think their parents are heroes, and then eventually they're like, oh, he's just a man. Like, I never got to that phase. My dad was always cooler and bigger than life to me. And so he came out on the set and saw me talking to a crew guy and said, okay, you're ready. I'll let you quit. You go to work.
That's cool. That's a nice story.
Thank you.
Is anyone who wants to go next? What's your name?
Razel.
Razel?
Razel.
Yeah, Razel.
That's a
nice
good one.
Do you want to do the next question? It's on
okay.
the next page.
I appeared in the 1980 music video for the Beach Boys' Help Me Rhonda, live at Nebworth, where you could see me briefly dancing off stage. Is that true or false?
True.
It's false.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
It was Kokomo.
It was Kokomo. Do we have a clip?
That's not me.
We're getting... Wait.
That's
where are you? There he is.
Oh.
Whoa, just a flash. Hey. Look at that point you got.
It's
that's
so
cool.
Funny because it sort of looks like he's hitting on me. Like I'm playing like this, and I kind of look at him like in a sexy way, and he's like, hey, you, John.
Who wasn't hitting on you in that era?
Well, I don't know.
I played the drum set. I was in the Williams College steel pan band with all the Jamaican students, but I didn't play the steel pans. I played the drum kit with the steel pan band.
Wow. And you must have been pretty good.
I was fine.
I think you should show up and sit in with us one day.
Okay. That's a yes. Yeah,
maybe not at the Hollywood Bowl.
No, I think we should start smaller.
Somewhere smaller
than the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah. Were you around in, the Beach Boys played for the 4th of July every year at the Washington Monument and for 750,000 people or something like that. And that was one of the first times I played with them in 85.
That's cool.
Yeah, the monument was nice then.
I was, it was the monument's the same. The monument's the same. The algae hasn't gotten to the monument yet. Boy, it'll be sad to see when the algae takes the monument.
That'll be a bad day. I think, I wish you guys, I don't want to get political because I'll get in trouble, but, will you guys put out a video? I need you to put a video out of the just the facts. No, don't make jokes about it. Mm. Don't bullshit about it.
Okay.
Show video of him. Show facts, real facts. Show price, gas prices. Take pictures of gas stations if you have to. Go in grocery stores if you have to. But make it so undeniably true. Don't fuck around with jokes and no opinion about it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
sir. So I can show my sister and the Republicans and my family and friends.
Let's edit the jokes out of this episode and get it to John Stamos' sister.
But do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. I know what you
like,
mean.
Like, the far right is not going to watch you or listen to you or Kimmel or Seth or any of this or these podcasters or these great guys on David Pakman's one of my favorite. You know, they're not getting to the people that need to see this. Yeah. Do you think?
I think that yes, I think it is hard to get good information in front of people. I think sometimes we overestimate the ways in which the problem is the facts that are getting to people and underestimate the importance of people deciding they want to see the facts, right? That there's certain, like there's no amount of, I think the deeper problem, right, is there are a lot of people that aren't really receptive to the facts because there's a deeper truth that we haven't gotten to them yet is how I sometimes feel about it. Because the problem right now is not that people don't know who Donald Trump is. I think that there's something else going on would be my feeling about it.
Okay.
But I don't think the video is a bad idea. I think we should still do it.
Okay, let's do it. I can't stop looking at your hair.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fantastic.
They did a great job.
Yeah. It's easier with curly hair.
It is.
Because you can put the curls in front.
The curls in front, you can mess it up. There's more room for error, for sure. Yeah. There's more room for error.
Have you had any other surgery? Anything else?
I had my ears pinned back.
You did? No. Seriously?
When I was a little kid. Yeah, they were super out.
Like a taxi cab with the doors open?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Yeah, like Dumbo, basically. They were real Dumbo. They were big ears. They were big, and they were out.
Wow.
They were out.
And how do they pin? Let me see. Is there?
You can see there's a scar in the back. You can see. You see?
How do they do that?
They cut it open and they make the fold that wasn't given to me by the code.
How old were you?
I was like 12.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And back they went. I don't know why we waited till right after the kids stopped making fun of me, but that's when we like, hey, you know what a great time to do that was? 6, 7? No, yeah. Let's wait till I'm 13.
But were you bar mitzvah? Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. So
they're out in there. The ears were there for the bar mitzvah.
They were.
I think it was after the bar mitzvah.
So you were
the ears
past
were
13.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it was 13. Right. You're right. I was 13.
Do I have to fact check for
no,
you?
No, you're right to check.
I need the facts. This is what the problem is. People don't get the facts.
Just no opinion. Just give them the straight dope. The
right.
Skinny.
No joke.
The raw data.
The ear date.
The ears were out. Old, they were out. Yeah.
I'm sorry, but
it was okay.
It's great.
It was good. Yeah, I think it was the right thing to do, though. Maybe it would be my calling card. You know, it'd been like, oh, you know, that guy with the ears.
No, you don't want that.
Nah, it was a good decision.
I collect Disney stuff, as I said earlier, and I have a Dumbo in my living room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
But his ears are worse than yours.
Yeah, for sure. No, famously. Yeah,
you know,
I think I'd hit terminal velocity if I jumped off of that diving board. And I, you know what I mean? I don't think I'd be able to swoop up.
Right.
I don't think I could swoop up. Let's do one more. Right there, Paloma. Hi, what's your name?
Hello, Max.
Max.
I'm Max.
So nice to meet you. Max, I love your energy.
Thank you.
I love your energy.
Max, what about my energy? We do have chemistry.
Oh, really? Oh, sorry. Oh,
you're supposed to ask the question.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to ask this one.
staring at Max, like, you know.
John Stamos starred on Broadway in Gore Vidal's The Best Man alongside James Earl Jones. True or false?
True?
That is true.
I talked to James about perception. This is a heavy-duty political... Do you know that show that Gore Vidal played, by chance? Oh, you would love it. It should be out now. But it was a three-hour... heavy drama, and here I am toe-to-toe with one of the greatest actors ever, James Earl Jones, and we finished it, and I called him Big Daddy. I said, Big Daddy, I gotta tell you,
yes, little John,
I said, you have changed people's perception of me. You've made me really legitimize me. Here I am with you on Broadway, you know, with the greatest actor. I think people really see me in a different way, and you really changed people's opinion of me. As we're walking, open the stage door, and there was a bunch of people out there. They were, Uncle Jesse, say have mercy. And I couldn't look at him. I was like, oh my God, everything I just said. And I kind of looked up a little bit, and I could see someone talking to him going, James, could you say Luke, I am your father into my phone for your thing? And we looked at each other and said, fuck it. Fuck it. What are we going to do? People love these characters. Let's embrace it, you know?
That's great. That's a great place to leave it. Catch John Stamos with the Beach Boys at the Hollywood Bowl for the July 4th Fireworks Spectacular on July 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. We'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Willie's Remedy. What kind of moment is perfect for Willie's? Basically, there's not a moment that isn't. It's great.
Love Willie's.
I love Willie's. It's awesome. At the end of a long day, or you want to change your mindset a little bit, it just is my favorite version of any kind of an edible. I really don't go for anything else. Willie's is premium THC-infused social tonic crafted by the legendary Willie Nelson. And the man is just not just an incredible musician. The man's a chemist, you know? He does an amazing job. It's low-calorie, low-sugar alcohol alternative that actually works, delivering fast-acting euphoric social buzz without the regrets that come with alcohol. Willie's social tonics come in 5 mg and 10 mg doses with a best-in-class flavor experience, so smooth and balanced, you barely realize you're drinking a THC product at all. You can enjoy the tonics as a shot, sipped over ice, or mixed into your favorite mocktail that we had them at the wedding. Willie's is not the feared edible you ate too much of in college. Each bottle of Willie's is third-party lab-tested for accurate dosage, so you can trust and customize your experience. Willie's unique blend of THC, CBD, CBG, and L-theanine delivers a feeling of calm, clarity, euphoria, and relaxation. One shot of Willie's helps you relax, unwind, and de-stress, perfect for taking the edge off at the end of a long day or socializing with friends. Willie's offers the kind of feeling that makes good company even better. Willie's ships directly to your door in 40 states and has sold out 3 times in the first 6 months with over 300,000 happy customers. So order now at drinkwillies.com and use code LOWLY for 20% off your first order plus free shipping on orders over $95 and live like a legend. Drinkwillies.com, code LOWLY for 20% off your first order plus free shipping. Love It or Leave It brought to you by Hims. If you want to know what's really worth your time and energy when it comes to losing weight, skip the guesswork and get weight loss by Hims. Hims offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications that now include the Wegovy pill at its lowest price ever and the Wegovy pen, plus lifestyle tips to support you along the way. Through Hims, everything happens online. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary, and it doesn't stop there. Hims makes hitting your goals seamless by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and in-app lifestyle and nutrition support like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. With a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hims makes it simple to find a weight loss approach that fits into your world and your wallet if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. Ready to reach your goals? Visit hims.com/love it to get a personalized, affordable plan that gets you. That's hims.com/love it. hims.com/love it. Based on advertised cash price for 30-day supply of medication only. Membership required, a fee not included, and billed separately. Weight loss by Hims is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit hims.com. And we're back. She's an actress, a model. She might be able to help us understand Tron. It's the incredible Jodie Turner-Smith. Hi. Welcome. Thank
sideways,
you.
Sideways. Sideways.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for being here.
Thanks
hi.
For having me.
Hi. No, you got to go to John Stamos. You can't. Yeah. Come on.
How are you?
Hi.
Nice to see you.
Oh my God.
I was gonna wear that outfit and.
But we're matching.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Listen. So there was a memo. I think are we robbers? Bank robbers? Who's driving the getaway car?
It's like I'm not even fucking here. Hi, nice to meet you.
Hi.
So you are in the agency with Michael Fassbender, Richard Gere, and Jeffrey Wright. But you're in a relationship with Michael Fassbender's character in the series. What's the most annoying thing about Michael Fassbender in real life? How do we take this guy down a peg?
You know what's so annoying is that he's actually so fucking cool.
Oh, that sucks. Don't you hate it when you meet these sort of handsome guys that get so much plaudits for being good looking and they're actually charming and personable? Don't you find that frustrating?
You know what? Actually, no. Because you know what? No, because I'm not a hater. And you know what? I love that. I love that. Because what's more annoying is like these charming, handsome guys and they're like pieces of shit. Like,
oh.
I much prefer like a charming, handsome guy and he's actually like charming, handsome, completely unserious, so fun to work with.
I'm right here.
John, call your agents and tell them that you want us to work together.
I would love
so I can talk about you like this. But no, he's, you know, Michael is actually like really wonderful and And also just like, he's just, there's no fucking frills. He's just like real. He's down to earth. I really love that. He's Irish, so we love the Irish.
Somebody, what a weird reaction from this side.
They were like, oh.
What are you like?
Was that sympathy or was like excitement?
The Queen's strange. Like, you're like the Queen's Guard or something? All right. So you filmed in Morocco this season. What was your Morocco experience like?
Oh my God, I love Morocco. What's crazy is the year prior I had been in Morocco, I went to Marrakesh for the first time. And when I was there, I was just like, I'm manifesting shooting in Morocco. And then agency season two, they were like, we're shooting. We shot in Tangier and Rabat. And it was magical. And it was amazing too, because it's like, you know, sometimes you do something and you're only on location for like a second, but we were literally out there for like a month and it was so nice. I loved it. I love Morocco.
That's so cool. You have to speak different languages on the show though. And didn't you have to speak Arabic? Is that right?
Yes.
How do you do that? How did you have to learn to speak the language? Like, did you have to like, how do you do that?
Listen, you know, Arabic is, first of all, it's, I think, one of the most beautiful languages in all of existence. And also the most, yeah. And also the best poetry, the most lit poetry. It's just, it's so romantic and amazing and difficult. It's like, obviously, I mean, you're never going to sound like a native speaker when you're not a native speaker. It's just, you know, you can't fake it. So I was like, how can we help me get as close to the mark as possible? And, you know, I'm actually really grateful that, you know, production, you know, these producers, you know, they really invested in us, because I can't tell you, I mean, I'm always asked to do an accent, and I can't tell you how many times like all the accent work has just been me coming out of my own pocket, because I really care about it feeling authentic and sounding authentic and like honoring that culture. Like, I'm Jamaican. Any Jamaicans in the audience? No. We're in California. Wait, I saw someone. Yeah, Suzette, my hairstylist. Oh, God. But, you know, I, as a Jamaican, like, I'm always seeing, you know, people doing like Jamaican accents, and I'm like, who was on set for that? Was there anybody there? Like, what's going on? And it's because like 9 times out of 10, there is not anybody there, because unfortunately, like audiences, Western audiences, they'll just be like, just whatever sounds good to us. And when you're native, it doesn't sound good to you. And so I always strive to just like, how can I get at least as close to the mark as possible? And, you know, 101, David Glasser, you know, he was like, as soon as, you know, we had our season two renewal, like basically almost immediately. And as soon as we had it, he was like, 100% you can get lessons. So I was doing Arabic dialect lessons at the same time, because, you know, when you're doing another language, it's, you know, there's so many differences and nuances, but also it's like just where the words sit in your mouth is completely different. And I wanted to make it so that at least when I'm on set, you know, I'm not spending all this time just trying to work on how to say the words like I was in season one. I can be more about just like what the story is, because I've been practicing on how to say things and where everything is supposed to sit, and having that comfortability with speaking the words.
John Stamos, can you do any accents?
No.
But you're Greek, aren't you?
I'm Greek. Yeah. Can you do a Greek accent?
I can't do a Greek accent.
Okay.
Do you speak
hello,
any Greek?
Mary.
You know, no. Oh yeah, that's a sort Dick of a. So that's you doing Dick Van Dyke doing.
Yeah.
Doing a British accent.
Can you do accents?
Oh, no, it's best not to try. I could used to be able to do Ariana Huffington.
Try Ariana.
She's Greek.
Here we are, you know, it's the 21st century, and women have to sleep their way to the top. Like, you know, that was sort of the gist of it. You know, there I was on a catamaran with the cast of Glee, like that kind of thing. So, and obviously it's killing in the crowd. What accents do you find, what are the more challenging ones for you? What are ones can you do?
You know, obviously the Arabic is probably my most challenging in terms of that, because also Arabic, it's, you know, I mean, also with every language, but people don't think about this. I mean, there's so many different dialects. There's not just Sudanese Arabic, but like, you know, Sudanese Arabic is its own thing. And so that was definitely challenging. But also what I found challenging, I did a show called Bad Monkey, where I played a Bahamian woman. And that was also challenging, you know, because also because, as I said, Caribbeans, you know, we're very, very critical, you know? And so it's like, you know, I was really working hard on that one.
Are there any, have you, what is there an example in your mind when you think of like, I cannot believe that that is what was considered allowed to be a Jamaican accent? Like, what is like the, when you think of an example of like the worst one, what comes to mind? It's, oh, if you don't want to say, say it anyway.
I feel like John has one.
No, I was trying to think, were there the Jamaican sled guys or something?
Oh, Cool Runnings. That movie upset
me. Was there Jamaican in there?
I wasn't brave enough to ask, but that's obviously what came to mind.
That movie upset me, but, you know, it wasn't even about the accents. It was just, you know, I mean, listen, we're making so many advances in our industry, thank God. But just like, there was just so many things that really upset me about that, that didn't even have to do with accent. I'm still angry about Cool Runnings. Just want you all to know. Angry.
Sorry I brought it up.
No, you were...
He brought up Cool Runnings. He stepped on my corn.
Hey, I want to ask you something. Do you remember British Vogue spotlighting your efforts to keep an original ugly shoe alive? Do you know what I'm talking about? Because we were talking about a lot when we heard you were going to be on the show. Can we show the photo of the shoe? It's a shoe where your toes are have individual...
My toe shoes.
Your toe shoes where your toes are kind of visible.
Five fingers.
You have like they're gloves, but for the feet where your toes are visible. You know those kinds of shoes? Do you like those kinds of shoes?
Obviously, I love them.
Are they comfortable or is it weird having your each toe in a little prison?
Do you know what? Here's the thing. But it's not a prison. The thing is our toes are in prison in our normal shoes.
Oh, right.
Because, like,
right.
The foot is supposed to function in a certain way. And it's not, you know, like, and, you know, the body is so intelligent. You know, it's like every single nerve is not just for, like, oh, ouch, that hurts. But it's also because sending a signal to the brain to let it know which muscles to activate. And, you know, the older I get, the more I'm like, I'm interested in the integrity of my spine.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, my knees, my ankles, my hips, everything. And I love these toe shoes. You know, this has been a thing that people have been asking about. I love my toe shoes. I sometimes, like, I try to reach for another shoe and I'm like, the toe shoes.
I'm going to wear toe shoes. I've never worn them. John Samos, have you?
Yes. Your foot has to like get accustomed to like walking in it. At first, it might like hurt a little bit. And you're supposed to like work up to wearing them for several hours.
Do they have better grip? Can you, you know, like climb a building? Or
Rob a bank. I mean, that's the whole point, right? Is you're supposed to be, because our toes are supposed to be like literally be able to kind of like monkey it. And you should. And I think it's like for me, and listen, it's tough because we're walking around all day on very, very hard surfaces, which is also not very natural. So, you know, sometimes it doesn't work all the way if you're not at least walking on like some soft surfaces, sand, grass, dirt.
Love walking on those stuff.
Listen,
so much better.
I gotta get these toe shoes,
start walking around the beach. It's a whole different life for me. My toes are in their little homes. I'm walking on the water. Yeah.
What's the song?
John Stamos is there. We're wearing our toe shoes together. I'm playing with the Beach Boys.
Yeah, let's do it.
We could do like a little photo like this.
Yeah,
with
that'd
our
be cool.
toe shoes.
We're getting good ratings on those feet websites.
Oh, Foot Finder. Yeah.
We can start an OnlyFans for our feet.
Yes.
Boy, that's gonna be so fun.
Honestly, it seems fun.
Yeah, you won't get
easy
a full
money.
Cut, by the way.
Yeah, that was understood that I'm a junior partner.
Do you
for
have
sure.
cute feet?
No, my feet aren't great.
I don't believe that.
They're not.
You're like, that's your thing.
No.
Being cute.
No. My feet are not, they're not that good.
Hot uncle, I bet you've got nice feet. Look at me, I sound like Quentin Tarantino.
And once again, I've disappeared. We'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by SimpliSafe. The problem with most security systems is that they only alert you after a break-in has already started, and that is too late. That's why I set up a SimpliSafe to secure my home. Using the Outdoor Camera Series 2 and advanced AI alerts, SimpliSafe's U.S.-based live agents can identify threats on your property and help deter them, stopping crime before it starts. That's real peace of mind. It's very easy to set up a SimpliSafe. As I've mentioned, you can customize it to your home, and then The app was really reliable, really easy to use, and the customer support was also great. Just gives you a peace of mind. With SimpliSafe, there are no long-term contracts or cancellation fees. SimpliSafe earns your business by keeping you safe, not trapping you in a contract. It's fast and easy to set up on your own. No drilling required, no waiting around for a technician. The app-guided installation walks you through the process so you can get your system armed in less than an hour. And best of all, SimpliSafe is actually affordable. Monitoring plans start affordably at around $1 per day. We want you to experience the peace of mind of real home security, which is why we've partnered with SimpliSafe to offer an exclusive discount to Love It or Leave It listeners right now. You can get 50% off your new system by visiting simplisafe.com/loveit. That's half off at simplisafe.com/loveit. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Back.
What's between your legs?
Oh, this?
Yeah.
This is the egg of truth. Here's how it works. Inside of this egg, we have questions that probe sort of some of the deeper and harder questions in life itself and some stupid ones. And we're just going to ask them. All right?
Okay.
And that's how it works. Here we go. First up.
It's like pantyhose or something would be in that.
Yes, it does. Like those old pantyhose things. Like, I remember
like
that.
Candy should be in it. We're so close to Easter. I hid so many eggs and stuffed them with so many things.
An asteroid is heading towards the Earth. What is the length of time left on Earth at which point you stop doing skincare? So if the asteroid is going to hit in 10 years, are we still doing the full routine? We're doing the serums? If it's 1 year, are we still moisturizing? If it's going to hit in 3 weeks, are we still doing under eye cream? When are we stopping the skincare and just saying, fuck it?
I mean, I'm trying to look cute for the aliens. I'm like, they're landing, and I'm like, with my zip.
Right till the end.
Right
to the end.
Till the end.
So the asteroids is growing bigger in the sky, and you're like,
also, like, I'm such a controlling person. I'm like, I can at least control this.
Oh. It's just
the world is ending. Let me make sure that my cheekbones are snatched.
Oh, that's nice. They're kind of a creature of routine.
Yeah.
I like that. Live every day like your last.
I would say, yeah, I would do it. It takes a minute to put some cream on.
Drop the skincare routine, John.
I wouldn't do it anymore.
Okay, he's out. He's changed his mind.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's a question.
All right.
You know that he has hair plugs?
They don't call them plugs anymore. Hey, I'm sorry, but that's a slur in my community.
Sorry. We don't say the gay hair plugs.
We don't say the P word, all right? All right.
What do you say?
That was
I think
so
they call them follicular. What do they call them? They call it follicular unit extraction.
Okay.
That's what the process is called. Okay. I guess they are.
Foo.
I think they're just follicles. They just call them follicles.
Okay.
They get F-U-E.
Get your foo.
They don't cut the back. They used to cut like a football shape from the back of people's heads and lay it on the table and then take them out like that. And now they just take them out one at a time from the back, which
Does
is kind
hurt?
Of interesting. It hurts a bit, but they give you a Valium and then at midday you get a Caesar wrap. you sit like this for a while. You take a little drug that makes it happen faster. Then you eat your Caesar wrap. Then you're face down for the afternoon.
Kind of like getting a BBL, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Or maybe, no. So you start face down because that's where they get the hairs. Second afternoon, face up, post sandwich.
What did you say?
A BBL.
A BBL.
John, don't try to act like you don't know what a BBL is.
You don't know what a BBL
is? I know you date young girls.
Is it? No.
But are you married?
Yeah.
He's married.
Brazilian butt lift.
Oh.
Yeah, see, you know.
No, I didn't know.
So no one's ever said BBL.
Brazilian
next question. What is something
I might need one.
What is something you could improve about yourself? You don't need one.
A BBL.
We all saw you enter. What is something you could improve about yourself, but you've decided to say fuck it? The butt.
The butt.
For you, it's the bun.
What about you? You don't need any improvement.
It could be non-physical. This could be I wasn't looking for just physical improvements. What's something like what's something about yourself? You know, like, I could be better at that, but you know what? Now I'm not going to do the work.
Oh.
I have McDonald's on my way to the office a little too often, and I know that that's wrong. I know that that's wrong, but I'm enjoying earning the points and the rewards.
We got some Mackey's lovers in here.
They really got us with that fucking app. There's an app. How many times did they ask you if you had the app before it worked? Like a lot. They don't eat McDonald's. Look at these people.
Wait, but the app is for what? Like ordering, like Uber Eats?
You can like earn points and rewards, and you can every once in a while you get a free soda and hash browns
a free soda.
Well, and then when a Los Angeles-based team wins, free nuggets.
God, it sounds like even the Air One membership is a bit more lucrative than that.
Yeah.
Get 10% back on every purchase.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, you guys are all acting like, yeah, but that's a lot. 10%.
10% on Erewhon. On Erewhon.
Once I get there, they're like, 20 use points. I'm like, yes. How much do I owe? $10. Thank you.
$10, my ass, at Erewhon.
Okay, for that, you get a banana.
But maybe like 90 instead of 135.
That makes sense.
Which we like.
Next question. When you feel a pain in your elbow, where is the pain? Is the pain in your elbow, in your brain, or does it not have a location?
This is what you were talking about earlier. Pain receptacles.
Oh, yes. I was like, what was I talking about?
Right? Like if you pain in the elbow.
I feel like when I feel a pain in my elbow, it is in my elbow. But what I'm learning from my osteopath is it's probably to do with something that's happening in my neck or something like that.
Oh, wow.
But it feels my elbow is hurting.
Right.
I feel like I'm also very in tune with my body. I'm like, no. I know like where things are happening. It's because I gave birth.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yes, I gave birth.
How many children do you have?
Just one.
How old?
Six.
Oh, that's beautiful.
She's so cute. You guys want to see a picture?
Yeah.
Just kidding.
I'm not going to show you.
You can't show it.
John Stamos, quick, name 5 types of bird.
Hummingbird. Blackbird, una paloma blanca, a sparrow, and an eagle.
Boom.
Yeah.
Goes over there.
Jody, what is the ideal time to have dinner?
6 p.m.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Love early dinner. Love early dinner.
Why did I have to name 5 birds?
Because it's what?
She got, what kind of dinner? What time is dinner?
5. I don't know why. It's
Stamos, name 5 birds.
Because we're all about men suffering and women having ease.
Okay.
Right, ladies?
We deserve it.
John Stamos,
this man's nodding. He knows what's up.
What an ally.
Ally.
What's your earliest memory, John Stamos?
Probably going to Disneyland with my family.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. And the nose job.
And the nose job.
You had a nose job?
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about it
earlier. He had his ears pinned back.
I did.
You did?
Mm-hmm. They used to stick out, now they don't.
Isn't that cool? Oh. There's a little scar behind his ear. Check it out.
It's fine. Hey, Jody, what's a conspiracy theory you 100% believe? See, they're not all... that's like his bird question, you know? It's a little
aliens.
More chill. Aliens? You think in aliens?
Aliens, 100%. But is it even a conspiracy theory anymore? I feel like something came out recently that was like, yes, we have seen or made contact with other species. I mean, it's just stupid. Like, look at this huge universe. We think we're the only ones here. It makes no sense.
Yeah, you're right. Last question for both of you. Do you eat food off the ground?
No.
Yes. Well, it's the 5-second rule, the 10-second rule. I just got new floors, so now it's 30-second rule.
New floors.
No.
My rule is...
Do people take their shoes off? Do you take your shoes off when you come in the house? Do you make people take their shoes off?
I don't really care.
Okay, so then you cannot be eating
You're
anything off the floor.
You're right. Why didn't I...
Oh,
you're
mad.
I'm not doing it anymore.
People have been tricked.
Here's my rule.
No.
Here's my compromise rule.
But you take your shoes off, that's still stinky feet.
Stinky feet versus what you have dragged in from the outside, I'll take stinky
feet.
Sorry.
You're right.
My compromise proposal is simply to say... If it's dry, you won't die, but if it's wet, best forget. And you can see Jody in season 2 of The Agency, out now on Paramount Plus. And we'll be right back. And we're back. Regrets. Regrets, I have a few. Then again, not too few to mention, which is why it's time for Second Thoughts. Put down the egg. Here's how it works. Our producers have given me a list of things I should regret about this episode. This current show that we're watching and being in. If you have any second thoughts about tonight, we welcome them, because this is a show where we acknowledge things where we want to, we're like, you know what, we're not going to pretend everything was perfect. You know, we don't need to. First, I went pretty deep on New York City elections for an audience of LA-based John Stamos fans.
They laughed, though. They got it. They were with it.
I gave the audience permission to laugh at Jewish people, but forgot to retract it at the end of the show per the bylaws of Woke 2.0. Nobody seems to be watching Elsbeth but me.
What is that? Is that
Elsbeth
from Wicked?
No, something? Elsbeth is a spinoff. Elsbeth is a spinoff of The Good Fight, which is a spinoff of The Good Wife. And so it's a spinoff of a spinoff of the original show. Carrie Preston plays a lawyer who's solving mysteries, and it's a fucking delight.
Have you watched The Hunting Wives? The Hunting Wives? I'm on season 2.
Ooh, I haven't seen The Hunting Wives yet.
You haven't?
What are you streaming these days?
The Agency on Paramount Plus.
The Agency on Paramount. Let's see, another regret. I told John Stamos that scientists are going to cut up my brain. It was before you got here.
But why is that a regret? Well, I think scientists should cut up your brain. You're very intelligent.
Here's my question.
Okay.
These producers are writing your regrets, not you.
But they're suggestions. They're suggestions.
What do you regret?
I feel as, let's see. I regret not knowing my favorite band.
That's regrettable.
That is regrettable. Well, it's funny. It's like I don't really have a, I would say that I have like, I love a lot of music, but I would never say I have a favorite band. Like, I'm not.
You know what? Actually.
What are you looking at?
Just thinking about
it. No, I'm actually with you there, because it's so hard when someone's like, what's your favorite band? And it's like.
What's your favorite band?
How can I just pick one favorite band? You know what I mean?
Three.
Okay, favorite artists. I love James Blake. Mm-hmm. Love James Blake. I also loved, anybody in here love dancehall music? There's no Jamaicans, so maybe not. Anyone? Wow. There's too many white people in this audience. People there, you don't listen to any dancehall music? It's a shame.
I say to my son sometimes.
Spice.
I go, you're Jamaican me crazy. That's terrible. I regret that.
Jody, do you have any regrets?
That's fine.
Any regrets? No regrets.
No regrets.
R-A-G-R-E-T-S.
Oh, yeah. Thank you both so much for being here. Before we go, I want to say a heartfelt thank you to Alan Pierre, Subha Agarwal, and Jossie Kaufman for hilarious joke contributions to this show. In particular, I want to thank Jossie, who has written on this show for most of its run, through every iteration, through the pandemic, through the shows I did in my backyard, and who has helped shape the weird, joyful way we try to deal with what is ever happening this week. I couldn't have done this show without you. And if you ask some of the critics of the show, I still don't. There are 130 days until the midterms. We'll be back next week with Mark Duplass and X Mayo. Thank you, John Stamos. Thank you, Jody Turner-Smith. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. Our show is produced by Kendra James, Bill McGrath, Kelsey Gante, and me, John Lovett. Our production team includes Hallie Keeper, Sarah Lazarus, Raman Borsellino, Peter Miller, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Jay Banks, Gavin Purcell, and Matt DeGroat. And our staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
What is that?
Yeah, it's a World Cup holder.
Like the soccer tournament World Cup?
Holder. For the world. Fits every car, holds every cup.
It has a Carvana logo?
Carvana made it. They buy and sell cars, so they made a car cup holder. So, got any good cups lately?
Used to, just couldn't figure out where in the world to put them.
The World Cup holder, brought to you by Carvana, proud sponsors of the World Cup holder.
Sign up today to win yours at cup-holder2026.com. Not authorized or endorsed by FIFA, not a real product, for parity and fair use purposes only.